Paul had attained the awareness that there was a new way to live. The way we live today normally is the light of the sun sustains this earth, it would appear. Our heat, our light, the way nature grows through that heat and light, everything depends on the activity of the sun. We all draw sustenance from it. Now, the new way to step out of the world into the invisible reality, into that which is never dying, is to draw your sustenance from the Holy Ghost where you are, just as the world draws its sustenance from the sun. Everything this earth needs comes from that sun. Every little insect, every fowl, every fish, without the sun, it's gone. Now that is all a symbol of the way we will draw from the inner sun of our own being, which is the Holy Ghost. When you learn to put your trust in it, you are turning, you are awakening, and you are quickened. And you find that the Holy Ghost does exactly that which the world depends on the sun for. Joel, in the Old Testament, has this to say in the third chapter, the 18th verse, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine." You see how they veil the Holy Ghost? "Shall drop down new wine. And the hills shall flow with milk. And all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters. And a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord and shall water the valley." All of this is taking place in your consciousness the moment you accept that you are not flesh, you are not mortality, you are not even man or woman. For the secret of the Bible is that you are the living Holy Ghost. Now, seen through a glass darkly, you appear as man or woman in the flesh. Remove the veil, and there stands the activity of God, the Holy Ghost. But it is here now, seen through the veil, appearing as what you call my form, my life, my being. And all the while, the vast invisible, present where you are, is saying, "We are one." Now that's the new wine, the living fountain. When we go to Paul, we find something in Hebrews which traces fairly well some of the things we've talked about. The barriers, the gifts of the Spirit, the inner purification necessary to accept and receive it. These will be the passages we'll go to. They'll be all in Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 4. Chapter 3, verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7, chapter 3, verse 11 again, and then chapter 6, verses 4 through 8, chapter 9, 8. We're going to just touch these to show the continuity that Paul was establishing about the Holy Spirit, starting with 2, 4. "God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will." Now, the gifts of the Holy Ghost, we have other words for those. We call them the fruits of the Spirit. And so the gifts of the Holy Ghost are those outer added things that appear in your life when you are not looking for the Holy Ghost, not trying to attain it, not trying to receive it. Don't make those mistakes, but accepting, "I am the Holy Ghost. Then there is no duality. There is no separation. And the acceptance cannot be up here in the head or down here in the mouth or in the region of the stomach or the heart. The acceptance is the way you live, believing on, abiding in, rejecting all else that denies you to be I am the Holy Ghost. That is the acceptance. And then the gifts of the Spirit pour forth. Now in 3:7, we have this. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice. You see, to hear his voice means to accept. The Holy Ghost doesn't have to come there and ring a bell. It's present. The acceptance is the hearing of its voice. So if you will hear its voice, means you will accept that it is where you are. And then in 4:7, again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Again, pressing for the acceptance of the Holy Ghost. And then a very interesting phrase by Paul. He says, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, meaning they're living in duality, not accepting themselves to be the invisible Spirit of God. And they have not known my ways. And so I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Now that's the very thing we're talking about. You, in accepting the Spirit, must copy this firmness of Paul, who swears, even though he's mad, even though he's angry, he will not let them enter his rest. He is resting in the knowledge that here I, Paul, am the living Holy Ghost. And I will not let them enter into that and deprive me of that truth. They will not enter my rest. My acceptance. And so, you see, when the Bible tells you not to be resentful, but to turn the other cheek, not to resist and so forth, not to condemn, it's telling you, don't let the world enter your rest. Don't let the world pierce the armor of truth in which you stand, that you are the invisible Holy Ghost. But why can't you go a step further? You must recognize that where your enemy is appearing to be, where the bill collector is, where the ingratitude is, where the harshness is, where everything else appears to be, there too stands the invisible Holy Ghost and not the person. Not the person. Only the invisible Holy Ghost stands before you everywhere. Do not let the world enter your rest. And don't you see then you've got the seamless garment, the one invisible Holy Ghost everywhere. You're in the power. There's nothing more to do then but rest in the knowledge that there is not a bill collector, there is not an irate friend, or an irate employer, or an irate husband or wife. There is the invisible Holy Ghost. And here is the invisible Holy Ghost. They are one being. And then the power of that ghost becomes manifest in the flesh as harmony, as peace, as fulfillment, as helpfulness, as cooperation, as beauty. As the activity of the ghost made visible, the word made flesh. And all of you who have done this know it is true. But to do it continuously is praying without ceasing. Even Paul, in his wrath, was determined, they will not enter my rest. He was resting in the Word. Some of you have had the experience of becoming very high in the truth and then hitting the bottom. And maybe Paul had you in mind with this in 6:4. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. The world to come. Right here. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. Now then, you who have received the word, have experienced the word, and have been lifted by the word, more is expected of you. And when you turn from that word, you feel the crash more than one who hadn't received the word. You have further to fall. And so we have a greater responsibility once we come into the awareness of truth. We have to be faithful to it. Or else, it's very difficult to be restored to that grace once you have abridged your faith. Once you have broken faith with the spirit of your own being, once you have received the word and have become disobedient to it, you're asking for trouble. Now, having accepted yourself to be the living spirit, when you do that, when you know that this living spirit that I am is everywhere as the invisible Holy Ghost, then you have an obligation to abide by its will, to love where hate appears, to pray for the one who appears to be guilty, to forgive, because your forgiveness is the recognition that right where there is one who appears in need of forgiveness, that one isn't there. I, the invisible Holy Ghost, the one self, am there. And if you cannot do that after you've received the word, then for you there is much gnashing of teeth. Because this is a sacred responsibility. In 9:8, Paul says that the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while at the first tabernacle was yet standing. And that's a reference to the time when, in the Hebrews, the holy priest alone was able to go into the Ark of the Covenant. All others had to go in the second tabernacle. It was not time for the intelligence or wisdom or spiritual preparation of man to receive this great eternal secret, that even those slaves who were being led out of Egypt by Moses, they were the living Holy Ghost. But there was no way for them to know it at the time. We who are slaves to a different level of consciousness, there is a way for us to know it. Now there you have a great secret then, that everything must be drawn from within your own being, and your own being is the infinite invisible. That infinite invisible is what you must learn to wake up to. And if I've said this a dozen times or more, or 100 or 1,000, I still know that it's a difficult thing to wake up to, the infinite invisible. And even though we determine to do it and go to sleep with the infinite invisible in our consciousness, somehow we just hear the words and pass it by. And that passing it by keeps us outside of all of the things we are striving to attain. Don't pass it by. Accept that the Holy Ghost of your being does not begin where your body is. It does not begin in the room. It does not end in the room. The Holy Ghost of your being is out touring the infinite and will send right to where the form appears all that is necessary instantly. Accept the infinity of the Holy Ghost. Please don't limit it to you, or to me, or to him, or to her. God is infinite being. The Holy Ghost is the infinite activity of God. It is your infinite activity. You remember last week we talked about the consciousness of feeling a draft at the window. Now watch how you can magnify that idea. There's the draft at the window and you feel it. And now realize that you feel it at the window before your body feels it here. There's something of you at the window feeling that draft, and we'll call that your mind. Or your human consciousness, which instantly relays that expression or that experience to your brain here. You see the moon. But where do you see it? Do you see it from down here? Or are you there? Is your consciousness there experiencing the moon and relaying that expression, that experience, to your brain here? You'll find it so. You'll find that everything on this earth is within your consciousness. And your consciousness must be bigger than this earth in order for these things to be in your consciousness. You are experiencing these things first in your consciousness and then almost instantaneously in your brain. Your consciousness is everywhere. And everything that you experience can be controlled by the knowledge that my consciousness is the activity of God, so that gradually you will stand in that place, which is called the secret place, where whatever comes into your consciousness that is not of God, you will instantly recognize as not being of God. You will call it a tare or chaff, not wheat. And you will recognize it as a denial of your being, and you will not accept it. You will not accept the evils of the world, the lacks and limitations, for they are not the consciousness of God expressing. And you will separate them until your consciousness is purified of all other belief than that which God is. You will find you're living in the infinite consciousness. And then, while there is a moon to this world, and a sun to this world, and stars to this world, and earth and water to this world, you will be living behind them. Because certainly God is not in this world. You will be living behind them in the invisible kingdom of God, and all these things will only appear in your consciousness. What you experience in the form will depend on that. You take a vacuum cleaner, and you put the nose of the vacuum cleaner on the ground, and you start vacuuming, and it picks up dirt. And then what do you have in the vacuum cleaner bag? You have dirt. Whatever you pick up with the vacuum cleaner goes into the bag. Now, your mind works the same way. It picks up experience. And if it picks up the untruth, that goes into your bag of memories. And they become conditioned reflexes. They become part of what you experience and what you show forth. Your mind is like the vacuum cleaner. But suppose you have the capacity to reject what the mind picks up, and only accept what God is sending through. then the law of externalization works in your favor. What God is sending through is the purity of his consciousness, and that shows forth in your world instead. And so we are controlling world thought. We are standing still in truth. And because the truth is that you are the infinite consciousness of God made visible here through the glass darkly, you eliminate the glass darkly in your consciousness, standing in the truth of being the Holy Ghost, and this becomes the way in which the world's evils, errors, the dirt that goes into the vacuum cleaner comes to your attention, but your truth becomes a filter for it and separates the wheat from the tares automatically, so that into your bag of consciousness comes only that which is the truth, and that is all that can go forth. And that truth being infinite and invisible, you exhibit in your daily experience the infinite and invisible qualities of God. The truth must be the place where you stand. Now, there are many ways to heal that we've learned, and here's another one. Last week we discussed some, and we're going to have many of these suggestions as we go along. And this one is probably best to start with healing someone else, so you can see it clearly. That someone else has a problem without a name, we'll say at the moment. Or let's give it a name, if you will. Let's go back to some physical ailment. And now you're the healer. Ask yourself, are you the healer or are you the Holy Ghost? When you're the healer, you might as well be a dead stone for that person who's called you. But are you the Holy Ghost? Can you accept that you are? Can you live that way? Can you try? Well, let's say you reach the place where you can accept you are the Holy Ghost. But you are one. There's not a Holy Ghost everywhere, broken up into little pieces. The Holy Ghost is the one invisible activity of God, without any separation from itself anywhere. Therefore, you can say to yourself, I, the Holy Ghost, I do not have a physical pain. And that's the truth. But I am the one Holy Ghost. There is no other. And therefore, the Holy Ghost that I am here, I am there, right where that victim of a pain is. But I don't have a pain there any more than I have it here. Can you do that? You know what you have to do after that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You simply rest in that knowledge. I, the Holy Ghost, here have no pain, and I, the Holy Ghost, there have no pain, and rest in the Word. Now, isn't that cutting it down to a simple way? You'll find it works. But only when you have attained the maturity of knowing that you are the Holy Ghost. Then you will discover anyone in the world can call you. But they aren't there, the Holy Ghost is. And the Holy Ghost that is where they are is the same Holy Ghost where you are. And if you, where you are, realize the truth, it will be realized by the Holy Ghost of you where the individual appears and show forth. And where there is an opening, a receptivity to truth, it will be almost instantaneous. But you're going to find many levels of consciousness coming to you. And they won't all be receptive to truth, and so you'll have to be pretty patient. And even when the patient says to you, I don't feel any better, you have to go right back and do it all over again just as you did the first time, because it's still the truth. And if it happens 100 times, it's still the truth. And you must stand in the truth. Now suppose the problem is you and not the patient. Suppose you're the patient. Well, that's simplified, isn't it? The only reason you have the problem is because you do not know you're the Holy Ghost. The activity of God has no problem. If you cannot accept that you are, why should the problem go away? It's only world thought, and it will stay as long as you're in the world thought. If you can't transfer to divine thought, the problem can't disappear. But when you're in divine thought, it automatically erases world thought. Just as if you could walk right over this tape with another message. It erases what's below it. World thought is always erased by divine thought. And so when you are in no thought about this world, divine thought erases the tape of this world that has been playing in your mind. Now you might say, well, how many years does it take to reach the place where I can be that way? You'd be wrong in asking that question, because it doesn't take years, it takes lifetimes. And that's what you've been doing all your lifetimes. You've been coming to the place where you can accept yourself to be perfect as your Father. And maybe you're so close to it now that all it takes is a reminder, a little nudge, a few jolts and jars thrown in, and then one day we're going to say, I'm through with the jolts and jars, I'm going to stand in myself. For I know there's no jolting and jarring the ghost, only a mortal sense of things. And then you'll see that no one has ever walked this earth who is not now the invisible Holy Ghost, no matter where they may be. For there is no other life in the entire universe of God. We only delay and prolong our despairs and distresses because we won't take ourselves in hand and face the flat truth that me is a lie. The Holy Ghost of God alone stands everywhere. There is no place that I can flee from the Spirit of God. To a child, we would take them by the neck or by the seat of the pants and we would drill it into them. We have to sometimes do that to ourselves until we know, until we can stand, until they can come and crucify us and we can say, what of it? How do you crucify the Holy Ghost? If they destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up again. And while those 3 days are going on, I will be right here being what I am, even though the world does not see me. That's what you must be saying in yourself. Until you know your invisible self so well that nobody can make you a finite, visible person again. Now that's the beginning of our study of the Holy Ghost. It is said that Mary was the bride of the Holy Ghost. and therefore could bring forth that child which the world called Jesus the Christ. But we must all be a bride of the Holy Ghost. And then when ye think not, when you're out of world thought, the Holy Ghost cometh, because that is who comes. That is the bridegroom. And we are married. And we are one. And every activity of the Ghost then becomes a living divine experience under divine law in that life which knows no end. I know we're studying the contemplative life, and yet I'm going to recommend that for next week you read another chapter in another book. In fact, two different books. One of them is the Thunder of Silence. I'd like you to read again, seriously, until you can put it into practice, the 9th chapter. This is a spiritual universe. And, if you will, in God the substance of all form. Also, I think chapter 9. Yes, chapter 9. I don't remember the title, but chapter 9 in both books. God the substance of all form and the thunder of silence. And you'll find that when you put them together, you may be persuaded that if you're not the Holy Ghost, you're a walking corpse. Because God made no material man. God made no material universe. Another suggestion is this, that when you read your New Testament, wherever the word I say unto you, or the word I is used, please try to know that in most cases, that I is standing right where you are. And it is saying to you, I say unto you. That is not a dream, and that is not a symbolism, that is a pure and simple fact. I am the truth, stands by you and says it all the time. And this is the Holy Ghost of your true being saying, I am the truth. You out there, you're a shadow of me. You're but the world concept about what I am. Come unto me. Turn ye. Erase that outer sense of self, for I am come. I am knocking at the door of your consciousness, and if you will open up, I will lift you into eternal, infinite being here and now. Try to recognize that every I say, I am, is not in the book. It is in the invisible present now as your being, trying to persuade your human sense of consciousness that it is a prodigal unless it turns and gives up its false sense of self. Until you get so aware of the infinite, invisible activity of your own being all around you, that you know that my whole universe is my being, and my being is my whole universe, and there is no other. I don't have to fear the shadows anymore. I don't have to reach out to cling to the shadows. I am all there is. Let's get this living experience and rest with it. And you'll get it to a large degree out of those two chapters if you're faithful to them. Then next week we can go into other levels of the Holy Ghost. We might have our work done before Easter. We acknowledge now one invisible self. Your name is life, not physical form. And the activity of that life that you are is the Holy Ghost. Your life is the only life there is in this universe. There is no other. Your life is forever. Your life is perfect now and functioning now everywhere. It is the life of every person who walks the earth. When you're in it, knowingly, you're in the oneness. You're in the power. That is where the glory is made manifest. Whoever is in the one life, to him I come. And I bring with me the gifts of the Magi, omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience, the myrrh and the frankincense and the gold. Whenever you are in the one, knowingly, and there is no other on the earth or in the sky or in the sea, there I am, the living God. And we are one. It was John who, in one of his epistles, said to his disciples, "Dear ones, accept no idols." And on that we shall end today's little talk. You know what you are, accept no idols. Thanks very much.